Well, that's the title of my message today. Love loves me. As you're going, sitting down, tell somebody that. Love loves me. Great job. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, I want to start off today. Like I said, the title of the message is Love Loves Me. That came up in my heart this week, and I'm thinking, oh, the Holy Ghost just gave me some new, fresh revelation. And then, well, it was to me, but I began to discover that other people have preached sermons, written books on that. But you know what? I believe it's what the Lord has for us today. Can you receive that? Will you agree with that? Amen? Let me ask you this question as we begin today. Has anyone ever felt unloved or rejected? Anybody going to be honest? Okay. Well, you know, perhaps if you think way, way back, perhaps maybe in high school, you had a crush on somebody and they didn't respond to that crush and you kind of felt hurt. Or maybe even way further back in grade school. I don't know if any of you ever played this little game, but you know, as little girls, we'd see somebody that we thought was kind of cute and kind of had this little crush on him, be out on the playground, find a little flower. Anybody ever done this? And start with the petals. He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. And man, you were just like, I can't end on he loves me not. We got to get another flower or whatever, you know. We wanted to play this game and land on he loves me. Would you know that our Heavenly Father doesn't play that kind of a game? He never plays I love you, I love you not. He doesn't look at beautiful Serena. Well, you could be. New name. I'm saying Sabrina. And say, oh, I love Sabrina. But there is something about Cisco that ticks me off. I love her. I love him not. Sorry, Cisco. You just happened to be sitting there. Wrong place at the wrong time. Anyhow, no. God doesn't play those kind of games. He loves each and every one of us unconditionally. Can anybody say praise the Lord for that? Amen. Now, most Christians don't have a lot of trouble or difficulty, you know, just saying, Jesus, Father, how I love you. We're pretty good at expressing our love for him. But did you realize many Christians struggle with how much he loves them? How much he loves us. I have a friend that many years ago, she was dealing with oppression. Anybody ever dealt with oppression? It was just like this cloud of heaviness kept coming over her. And one day she's praying and she's just saying, oh, Father, I love you. I love you so much. She's praying. She's worshiping him. I love you so much. And he spoke in her heart very definitely. And he said, I know you love me. But you don't know how much I love you. I know you love me, but you don't know how much I love you. And then the Spirit of God instructed her. Every time these feelings of oppression and depression try to overwhelm you, I want you to do this. I want you to see yourself wrapped up in my loving arms. And I want you to say, oh, how he loves me. Amen. Don't tell me anymore right now how much you love me. I want you just to concentrate on, I'm wrapping my loving arms around you and say, oh, how he loves me. Can we just do that? Just do that right now. Visualize your loving Father wrapping his arms around you And now all together, let's say, oh, how he loves me. There's nothing like being loved by our Father. And my friend, after a period of time practicing this, that oppression lifted off of her because a revelation came. I'm loved by love himself. That's who our Father is. That's who our Jesus is. I'm sure somebody in here has heard of this scripture, John 3:16. Anybody in here ever heard of that passage? For God so what? Loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How many in here today have been born again? You've received this wonderful everlasting life that Jesus died and came to give us. I'm thankful. I'm on my way to heaven. How about you? On my way to heaven, singing and shouting the victory. I'm grateful for that. But let's look at this. Sometimes we quote this scripture. People around the world know this verse. At sporting events, they hold up John 3:16. Very famous passage of scripture. But let's just look at it a little closer today. Why? First of all, why are we saved? Well, the answer is found in the first part of that verse. Of course, Jesus came, but this is why we're saved. This is why we have the plan of salvation. For God so loved. Amen? If he hadn't so loved, Jesus would not have so came. Hallelujah. And it says he loved the world, but you know, he does, and he did. He loves the world. But our God is a personal God. He loves me. He loves you. I've heard this all my life. I heard this, and some people say, I don't believe that. Well, I do. That if I was the only person on the earth after Adam and Eve, God would have still had this beautiful plan of salvation, and Jesus would have died just for me. You know, that's not thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to think. That's just seeing who you are and how much you are loved by the Father. What a revelation. Amen. God so loved, he gave. I heard someone say this years ago, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. You can give without loving, but you can't give without, but you can't love without giving. God didn't look at us in our sinful state and mankind in their fallen state and say, you know what? I love you, but you got yourself in this mess. Hopefully you can figure a way out. No, he acted. He was moved with compassion. He couldn't love us without doing something. Hallelujah. He was compelled to give us heaven's best, his only begotten Son. And Jesus gave his all. Anybody grateful for that? Amen. Well, let's continue reading here in John chapter 3. How about verse 17? Why did the Father send Jesus? For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Another revelation. God is not into condemning us. He's into redeeming us. How many in here are the redeemed? Well, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Thank God we've been redeemed. Hallelujah. It's no mystery that all of us were lost And without Jesus, we would have been condemned to eternal separation from our Father God because of Adam's sin. But this is the good news. I believe I already quoted that, but Romans 5:8. I want to read it out of the NLT. But God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Jesus bridged the gap that sin brought between us and our Father God. And He removed the power of guilt and condemnation. We are no longer sinners. We are no longer outcast. We are no longer separated from God. Hallelujah. And we are not defined by our past. Jesus has removed the guilt and the condemnation of who we used to be. I don't care how old you were when you got born again. I was just a little kid. I mean, I didn't have a long list of gigantic sins. You know, I hadn't murdered anybody. I hadn't, you know, been killed somebody on drunk driving, anything weird like that. But every one of us were sinners. Every one of us needed a Savior. But you know what the enemy tries to do? Even once we're born again, he tries to bring up our past. He tries to make us feel unworthy. He tries to bring condemnation. Do you remember what you used to do? Do you remember what you did and what you said and how you acted? Oh, you've got a really bad past. Well, when the devil reminds us of our past, remind him of his. Well, devil, you got a really bad past. Jesus whipped you. Hallelujah. He conquered you. And guess what, Mr. Devil? I got a beautiful, bright future, but yours is not very bright. Remind him of his past. Hallelujah. Don't yield to condemnation. Condemnation is a tool of the enemy. Pastor Mark says this often. Condemnation is the confidence killer. We will not come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find help in a time of need if we're always feeling condemned. I don't belong there. He's not listening. God doesn't love me. No, condemnation is designed to turn you upon yourself. Make you just so inward conscious. I failed. I didn't do this right. I didn't do that right. I'm not loved. I'm not accepted. Oh, God is angry at me. You know what the devil is trying to do with all those tricks of condemnation? He wants you to see yourself as he is. He's on this trip of putting his garbage and his baggage. He's trying to put it on us. He is rejected. He will never be accepted in the beloved. He is unloved. He will never be in right standing with the Father. And he tries to accuse us. He is the accuser of the brethren. He wants you to feel like he feels. But I'm not going to side up with the devil. How about you? No, I'm not taking on his identity. He's the biggest loser that ever was. He's the biggest failure that ever happened. And that's not you, and that's not me. So don't receive those lies. Don't act and get under that cloud of condemnation. I like this scripture in Romans 8:1. Out of the Passion. So now the case is closed. Woo, I like that. there remains no accusing voice of condemnation against those who are joined in life union with Jesus, the Anointed One. We are responsible to remind the accuser when he comes with his lies, you did this, you should have done that. Remind him, the case is closed. Just imagine in a courtroom, there is a courtroom of heaven, and there's this book and it's got all these things in there of your past sins or whatever. It's closed. And the Holy Ghost has stamped on there, don't reopen. It's sealed shut. Hallelujah. It is sealed with the blood of Jesus and the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We have to know that. We have to remind him the case has been closed. Hallelujah. And then I like how this talks about we are joined in life union with Jesus. We are connected. He is the vine. We are the branches. You can read about that over in John chapter 15. We are connected with him. Who he is, what he has, is ours. Because he's in us. I'm in him, and he's in me. Talk about a connection. You know, some people are real name droppers. They like to talk about, you know, this person that they think is famous. I know them. They're my good buddy. I got a friend on Facebook and he cracks me up. He goes around and he tries to get pictures with all of these celebrities and these sports figures and posts them. And yeah, it's fine. That's kind of his personality. He really does know them. But one time I commented and said, you know everybody, don't you? But anyway, regardless of who people are connected to in the natural. Some people, they like to go maybe to an event with a well-known person and get special treatment. I'm with them. Sometimes you want to go, well, good for you. I mean, they're just humans, whoever, celebrities, whatever. Great, what wonderful. But you know what's more important? There's nobody I'd rather be connected to than the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm, you know, some people say I'm with them. Well, I'm with him. Are you with him? He is the source of my everything. He is my life. He is my peace. He is my joy. He's my everything. And because I'm connected to him, all that I will ever need, I've got. Hallelujah. Woo! And because his word abides in me, and I abide in him, and he amos sabra, his word's in me, and I declare his word, I can ask whatever I will. Woo! Talk about a connection. Ha, ha, ha. Woo! He is our life union. Glory be to God. Wonderful. And our wonderful, wonderful Father. He does not just have love. The Bible says he is love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, 17. And we have known, do you know this? And believed the love that God has for us. And this is paramount. We need to know this. God is love. Doesn't just have it. He is love itself. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Verse 17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Another question. Have you known love loves you? Are you convinced he loves you as much as he loves Kenneth Copeland, or as much as he loves Pastor Mark? Huh. And when we have that kind of assurance, then verse 18 becomes a reality. There is no fear. I want to read that out of the Amplified. There is no fear in love. Dread does not exist. Amen. But full grown, complete, perfect love turns fear out of doors, expels every trace of terror. For fear brings with it the thought of punishment. And so he who is afraid has not reached the full maturity of love, is not yet grown into love's complete perfection. There is no fear. There is no dread in this God kind of love. Dread does not exist. Looked up the word dread, to anticipate with anxiety or alarm or apprehension. It's not good if you're in a relationship that's full of dread and anxiety, that there's fear always present. Pastor Mark and I have been married for 48 years. Yay, huh? And for most of our marriage, except when I had to get up and take the boys to school, he gets up quite a bit earlier than myself. So when I wake up, I don't run to the window and look out and see if his car is there or not. I don't go to the closets and see if he's cleaned out his clothes. I don't live in dread every morning that he, in the middle of the night, he left me. No. For one thing, that would be a really stupid move. I'll just say, because I know love loves me. He's got a good thing going, so he's not going to leave. But but because he loves me, and I am blessed that he loves me, I'm not afraid. I'm not full of anxiety and worry that every day he's going to walk out on me. No. If we can have that kind of a relationship with a spouse or a family member or a friend, how much more should we live free from fear, dread, or anxiety about our Lord Jesus forsaking us? He's not going to forsake us. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to disappoint us. Verse 18 again, it's had that little words in there. Perfect love turns fear out of doors, expels every trace of terror. If you live in fear, it brings the thought of punishment. God is not out to get us. He's not out to punish us. Now, he does correct us, but he corrects us because he loves us. And he does it with a loving heart and our best interest at heart. There's a difference. It's the same with how you correct your kids when they were growing up. They should never feel like, ooh, mom and dad don't like me. They're punishing me. There's a difference. No, we're correcting correcting you because we love you. We're bringing discipline into your life because we love you and we want you to have a good life and good days upon this earth. That's how Jesus looks at us. Hallelujah. I want you to realize this. Love loves me. That revelation can literally save your life. How many of you know how many disciples the Lord Jesus had? He had 12. It's not a hard, this is an open book test. Read the Bible. He had 12 disciples. We know Judas betrayed him, died a horrible death. But if you will study history, all of the rest of the disciples were martyred except for one. And that one was John. And John lived to be an old age and died of natural causes. That is not an accident. Let's think about it. What revelation did John have that perhaps the others weren't mature in? You know what John said about himself more than once? I am the disciple whom Jesus loved. I am the disciple whom Jesus loved. He wasn't trying to elevate himself above the other disciples, but this was something that was embedded in him. He knew he was loved by Jesus. As a matter of fact, in the Gospel of John, he referred to love 57 times. In 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, 46 times in those little short books, he talked about the love of God. And then he wrote the book of Revelation in 5 times. So a total of 108 times in John's writings, he referred to love, the love of God. Now, Matthew, Mark, and Luke combined in their Gospels only mentioned love 35 times. That tells us that John referred to love in his writings 3 times more than all of the other writers of the Gospels combined. There's so much in the book of John where he actually recorded Jesus' sayings about love. We just read one, John 3:16. It's in red. But it has to do with Jesus talking about the love of God. And for some reason, John was a disciple that recorded over and over again this revelation of God. And he didn't just major on God is love, but God loves me. I'm the disciple that Jesus loved. And he, it's no accident, he was the only one that was not martyred. They tried to martyr him. Nobody fainted, but they put him in a pot of boiling oil. Don't faint down there, PT, but think about it. His skin didn't melt. He didn't have burn marks on him. He didn't come out smelling like fried chicken or French fries. I don't know how long they kept him in that pot of boiling oil, but after a while they just gave up and pulled him out because nothing was happening to him. This was a miracle. This was a Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego kind of a deal. They were in the fiery furnace, but they came out without even the smell of smoke on them. He was in a pot of boiling oil, and he came out not smelling like any fried food. Why? They couldn't kill love. Love was his safeguard. And when they couldn't boil him to death, they decided they would exile him. They put him on an isle called Patmos. It's a very small Greek island, somewhere in the Aegean Sea. And at the time, it was nothing but a big rock. It was a barren place with few resources, limited food. It was worse than the rock that we have here in the Bay Area called Alcatraz. It was literally a rock. Think of that. I'm sure when they put him out there, what another marvelous opportunity for him to step out of love. But he didn't. Instead, he had visions. He got revelation about the tribulation. He wrote the book of Revelations. Hallelujah. How powerful, how impactful to know love loves me. It can literally save your life. It saved his life. It kept him from being boiled in a pot of boiling oil. Saved his life. Walking in love, knowing how much you are loved, can save your life. What do I mean? It can keep sickness and disease from touching your body. It can keep your family safe. Hallelujah. It can keep the wicked one. He touches us not. And if he comes at you and he says, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this, you just say, oh, no, you're not. I'm walking in love. And the love of God is my shield and my protection. And you're not touching me. You can't kill love. Love is our safeguard. Hallelujah. Oh, let's thank him. Thank you, Father, for so great of love. Woo! He loved us first. We respond to that wonderful love. Being loved is an awesome thing. Love can be felt and love can be seen. Recently, I read something on love from a child's perspective. These people did this survey and they asked kids from the ages of 4 to 8, what is love? I got to read you some of their answers. They're pretty cool. Well, one little boy said this, age 4. When someone loves you, the way they say your name is different. You just know that your name is safe in their mouth. I like that. A little girl said this. When my grandmother got arthritis, she couldn't bend over and paint her toenails anymore. So my grandfather does it for her all the time. Sweet, right? But I would have to say, I'm glad Pastor doesn't try to paint my toenails. Instead, he pays for a professional to do it. And we're both happy. But this little boy saw that as an act of love from his grandfather. Love is what's in the room with you at Christmas. If you stop opening presents and just listen. A little boy said that. And then this is my favorite. A neighbor of a little 4-year-old, an elderly gentleman, recently lost his wife. The little boy and his mom were out in their front yard and they looked over and a little man was sitting on his porch crying. And without any prompting, the little 4-year-old went over. His mom just let him, crawled up in the lap of that little man and just sat there for a bit. When he came back, his mom said to him, honey, what did you say to Mr. So-and-so? The little boy said, nothing. I just helped him cry. Love sometimes is just being there. Being there. In the good times and the bad times and the difficult season. We all need people in our lives that we can count on. We need close friends, faith buddies. Maybe it's a relative, a sister, or a brother, or a mom, or a dad. If you're married, your spouse should be that person that you can count on. Every love story is unique. But Pastor Mark's and I's love story is really pretty unique. He probably has a different version than I do. If you were to ask him, you know, usually in a relationship, somebody has to make the first move. If you were to ask him, he'd say, I made the first move, which I did. I knocked on his door. And he would also probably say this, that I chased him, but I say he didn't run very fast. And then I've often wondered about this. Did Pastor love me first or my cooking? Was it love at first sight or love at first bite? Either way, 48 years later, and all I know, to God be the glory, all I know is he loves me and I love him. I am thankful he is mine. And I think, I don't know. Oh, deserves a hug. Love you, Wayne. Now, I can't sing, but I think there might be a song. Is there a song? So Good to Be Loved by You? I don't know. There's so many old songs that he has taught me, I'm not sure. But that would be a good song right now. It is. Amen. Hallelujah. So thankful for his love. I'm so thankful for the Father's love. Every single one of us can have, hopefully, experienced his love. And our Father doesn't do anything in a little way. He lavishes his love on us. The Bible tells us that in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, in the NIV. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. We're the children of God. The reason the world doesn't know us is that it did not know him. So I like to look up words. Lavish. Listen to some of these definitions. Lavished means something that is given, spent, or bestowed in great amounts, often excessively or generously. The Father loved us excessively. Amen. He didn't hold back in his love toward us. He didn't have this attitude, oh, a little dab will do you. I will give you just enough love so you don't have to go to hell. But that's it. That's all I'm doing for you. And you're going to have to experience hell while you're down there on earth. But someday in the sweet by and by, because I love you a little bit, you can come to heaven. No, he lavished us with so great of love. The Father loves us as much as he loves Jesus. That's mind-boggling, but it's in the Bible. Again, another beautiful passage in the Gospel of John is John chapter 17. And the Apostle John records these prayers that Jesus prayed for his disciples and also that he prayed for us. Verse 23 out of the Passion, you live fully in me, and now I live fully in them. So that they will experience perfect unity and the world will be convinced that you have sent me. For they see that you love each other, each one of them, with the same passionate love that you have for me. That's a prayer that Jesus prayed. He wanted you and me, us, down through the quarters of time, to know we are loved of the Father as much as the Father loved His only begotten Son. You know why? Because we're His sons. We're His daughters. And that same love He loved Jesus with is on the inside of us. Hallelujah. And because love loves me, I can love others. Just a couple more scriptures. 1 John 4:7. Again, you know, a lot of these passages on love we're reading today, where are they? They're in the Gospel of John. They're in the books of 1st and 2nd and 3rd John. Those who are loved by God, let His love continually pour from you to one another. Because God is love. Everyone who loves is fathered by God and experiences an intimate knowledge of Him. Because we're loved, we're not meant to keep this love to ourselves. We're supposed to let it pour out from us to those around us. Another verse there in 1 John 4:11. Delightfully loved ones, if He loved us with such tremendous love, then loving one another should be our way of life. Our way of life is to take that love that's been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost and let it pour out of us to those around us. And it didn't say just love those that are nice to you and love those that are loving to you. He said let that love pour out to each other. It's not a one-time event. It's not like, okay, you know, they were ugly to me yesterday and I passed the test. I walked in love, but today is a new day. That was a limited time offered and I'm done. I am done. No, He said, let it be what? A way of life. And for that to happen, we got to meditate on how much love loves me. Think about how much He forgave us. If we forgive our, He forgave us of our debts, and we need to forgive our debtors. A way of life. And when you know what you've been forgiven of, it makes it easier for you to forgive others, not hold grudges and resentment and hold failures over people's heads. Well, I'll forgive, but I'm not going to forget what you did to me, you old rascal. That's not pouring love out to whom much is given. Much is required. We've been given so great of love. And because of that, we can give that love to others. Oh, something's just coming up in my heart right now. Let's all go ahead and stand. This is for somebody in here, and I'm not going to ask you to come forward on this, but somebody in here is having a real hard time forgiving someone. And this could have happened many years ago. But the way you know that you haven't forgiven them is every time you think of that that something just comes up on the inside of you, or the thought of seeing them just, you know, you just can't fathom having to talk to them ever again. That's unforgiveness. And if we don't deal with that, the Bible says it can become a root of bitterness that will spring up and trouble us. I don't know what it is. I know, you know, in the natural that just happens. Life happens and people have been hurt. People have gone through a divorce. People have gone through being separated from a loved one at no fault of their own. And those things came as shobrata. Oh, but inima subrata. So right now, this is what I want to do. You don't have to raise your hand, but I want to lead you in a corporate prayer. Forgiveness is an act of our will. We can say, I don't feel like it. It's not about feelings. It's about the heart. And the love of God. It's not in our head. It's not in our feelings. It's in our heart. So we can, by faith, release a person and forgive a person without any feelings. But you know what? If you will do it by faith, your feelings are going to line up eventually. So I want to, but I just sense we need to do this. Y'all with me? So I want everybody just to say this. Father God, I thank you for so great a love that you have loved me with. I thank you that you have forgiven me for all my failures, for all my mistakes, for the times that I knowingly or unknowingly hurt someone else. And now I ask you to help me to forgive that person. And if there's somebody specifically, you just whisper their name. And then say this: by an act of my will, I forgive. I release them. I'm not going to harbor that hurt any longer. I'm not going to meditate on that rejection one more minute. I release them. I forgive them. And I thank you, Lord, that you have cleansed me from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you right now for your anointing in this place. Thank you for ministering to your precious people. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, now that's right. Now sipukurita, now healing will flow. Unforgiveness, bitterness, these things plug up the healing flow. Shabrekita. I remember our spiritual father, Dad Hagen, he was praying in a prayer line for some people. And he came to this one person. And as he touched them, the Holy Spirit said, tell them, they need to go forgive so-and-so, and then their healing will be manifested. That person left the prayer line, went and made a phone call. I believe it was to a brother or someone they hadn't spoken to in years. And once they did that, instantly, symptoms left their body. We don't want any hindrances that are keeping the healing power from flowing into our bodies. Amen. Hallelujah. So lift your hands and just right now, Lord, we speak healing power. Oh, you want to say something?
Faith then will work in a forgiving heart.
That's right.
For unforgiveness and strife and bitterness stops my healing flow. Mm-hmm. But now, says the Lord, you've risen up and you have forgiven. And now my healing flows.
Yes.
And my spirit does saturate you with the anointing. that removes the burdens and destroys the yoke. So be whole and be healed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Name of Jesus.
Rise up and take it today. Rise up and say, it's mine. I take it now. I have it now.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.